searching for happiness, this the way to go. You say you want peace, this the way to go. If you trying to see Jesus, this the way to go. We all wanna live, this the way to go.
The show,
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 this the way to go.
The show.
You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
Second Thessalonians is written by the Apostle Paul. When you consider our verse here in chapter number 2 and verse 15, it is clear that Paul is not addressing his letter to everyone. He is addressing his letter specifically to the brethren. Again, Paul is addressing the brethren. And I know brother is a term that we use loosely in our day and time when we're talking about someone that is a friend or someone that's close to us. What's up, brother? You know. But in scripture, brethren is a special term. Biblically, if you are Christian, everyone is not your brother. Even if, you know, we use that when it comes to black folk. Where the brothers at? No. Brethren, again, in scripture is a special term. Brethren has to do, first of all, with folk that are born again. Christians. Folk that have repented and made Jesus their Lord and Savior. And they're striving to live according to the written and the revealed word of God. With that being said, do we have any brethren here? Whether male or female, anyone in here, are you and I of the same faith? Well, then this letter is for you. What Paul wrote thousands of years ago is for you and I. And one thing I love about God, when you talk about the brethren, it's just not grown folk. You got young folk that's saved. They're striving to live by faith. Am I right about it? Let's look at what the scripture talks about as it pertains to brethren, or some things, some truths we need to know about the brethren when you consider God's word, okay? Let's start in Galatians chapter number 2. Galatians chapter number 2, and let's look at verse number, I think I want to go to verse number 4. Y'all ready? Okay. And this occurred, notice, because of, help me, false brethren, secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, Lord, which we have in Christ Jesus. But look at these false brethren. That they might bring us into bondage. What do I want you to see in this verse? There are false brethren. Sadly, you have people that name the name of Christ, but they up to no good. And as a young person, especially that spirit filled, you have to mature to the point to where you can discern when someone is false, when someone is pseudo, someone is not real. We're living in a day where it's a lot of camouflage Christians. Focus, say one thing, but live and do something contrary to God's word. And so we have to be careful. We have to remember that we do not need to be deceived. Evil company corrupts bad habits. We need to remember the righteous should choose their friends carefully. Why? The wicked can lead them astray. And see, back in Paul's day, it were folk who were saying that they were one thing, but they were coming in causing a whole bunch of trouble. Whole bunch of trouble. Oh, Lord, y'all quiet. Let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs 6. Can't be close with everybody. You can't do it. Help me say, you can't do it. You can get around folk, and as Paul said, they'll bring you into bondage. Have you doing stuff you know you ain't got no business doing. Okay, Proverbs 6, and let's look at verse number 16. And then we're going to slide down to verse 19. Proverbs 6:16. These six things the Lord hates. Let's try that again. These six things the Lord hates. Seven are an abomination to him. And he starts listing some things. Go down to verse 19. A false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. The Lord hates messy brethren. Messy. See, God is not the author of confusion. God promotes unity. But messy folk want to cause division. Again, young folk, we have to be careful. If God hates messy brethren, we need to hate messy brethren. Folk who sow discord, cause problems, start junk or mess in the church and outside the church. Somebody coming to you, did you hear about so-and-so? That's a sign right there. They finna get messy. Your little antennas need to be going up. And you have to tell for I don't wanna hear that. Take that somewhere else. You heard what such and such talked said about you. You're messy. I love you, but you're being messy. You know, I can't stand her. I don't think you should be for that's you. And her or him, we straight. The Bible says if you have a problem or ought with your brother, you go to don't put my name in it because you're being messy. Have you ever bumped into messy folk before? According to this verse, God love them, but he hate that. He hate what that person is doing. We need to be the opposite. We need to strive to unify. We need to be on the same or strive to be on the same page. Look at Psalm 133. I have it right here. Behold, how good and how, help me, pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Y'all didn't even read that right. Come on, brethren. Behold how good and pleasant it is for to dwell together in, there you go, on the same page. On the same page. That's what we need to strive for. Oh, you see so-and-so. They are visiting our church. Well, don't make them feel like no outcast. Go say, hey, glad to see you, and keep it moving. We want to be on the same page. And the page that we want to be on is God's page, right? All right. So what have we learned about brethren? Here in this verse, Proverbs 6, the Lord hates those who sow discord or messy folk, right? What's the first thing we learned about brethren? You got some brethren, they're false. Okay? Let's go to Hebrews 3. We're going to do a little turning this morning. Y'all don't fake it now. Go with me. Yeah, turn it. You're a tire. Turn it. What Elder Beasley say? Read. All right. Hebrews 3 and verse number 12. All right, it's going to get a little touchy on these last two we look at. But it's some good stuff. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Lord, have mercy. Brethren, we must beware of an evil heart. We got to check ourselves. On a consistent basis, young folk, we have to make sure that our heart is not evil, contrary to the will of God. Look at what he said. An evil heart is a heart that is unbelieving. Have you ever had an evil heart? You know prayer was right, but you didn't really put it into action. That's an evil, evil heart. You know that God loves a cheerful giver, but you just didn't line up with that for a while. You walked in robbing God. That's an evil heart. You knew you should have got that right with your brother or your sister, but you let pride get the best of you. That's an evil, evil heart. You know mama told you to go right, but you went left. And then when she asked you, did you go right? You said, yeah. That's an evil heart. I'm going to ask this again and look for some response. Have you ever had an evil heart before? Longer than a day? Yeah, I ain't going to lie. Yeah. But if a person, look what happens in the verse. If a person continues to have an evil heart, eventually, guess what they're going to do? Depart from the Lord. A person with an evil heart eventually is going to backslide. Yeah. A person with an evil heart is going to backslide. Why? Because God is light. In him is no darkness, but when a person chooses to practice evil, that's darkness. And light and dark cannot mix. And so a person just going to push away from God because they love practicing evil. That's what Jesus said. People wouldn't come to the light because they love darkness or evil. And you see that in our day and time. You see it in the world. You would think through what we've been through in this society for the last year, church be running over. Folk be running to the altar. No, folk love darkness. And what's sad is when you got brethren or church folk that take on that same spirit. Instead of loving God, they start loving evil. And what happens to that saint? They depart or backslide. You can be in the church, but still be in a backslidden state. I said you can be in the church, but in a backslidden, don't want to be like that. Lord have mercy. What about you? All right, so we learned a few quick things about the brother. Brethren are people that are of the same faith, right? Brethren are people that are of the same faith. There are some brethren that are false. The Lord hates messy brethren. And we must beware of what type of heart? An evil heart. An evil heart. In our text, back in 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 2, and verse number 15, Paul encourages and instructs the brethren very plainly. Look at what he says again. Y'all read it loud. Therefore, stand and hold the which you were, whether by or very plain. He instructs the brethren, first of all, to stand fast. And that's one trait young saints should have. We need to understand that there will come a time to where we need to stand fast. Don't move. Stay in a fixed position. Do not move. Persevere what you're going through. Endure what you're going through. Stand fast. Look at somebody say, don't move. I remember back when I played ball back in the day. Matter of fact, my mind went back this week. I was at Walmart, and I had on my Adidas from head to toe. This man stopped me. He said, you look like you played ball. I was like, yeah, back in the day. So my mind went back this week to my ball playing days and how my coach used to tell me, Baker, I want you to get in that lane. I don't want you to move. I want you to just stand right there. And if you need to take the charge, but get right there and don't you move. How many know it's like that in life sometimes as a young saint? You can have pressure coming against you. You can be going through things. But sometimes God wants you to stay right there. Stay in that fight. Stay in that pain. Stay in the midst of what you are dealing with. And don't you move. Stand fast. Hold on is the second thing he told them to do. Lord, have mercy. Look at somebody say, stand fast. And hold on. Hold on to keep or remain faithful. You've been praying, keep praying. You've been believing, keep believing. You've been speaking life, keep speaking life. Oh, Lord, you've been turning and doing the right thing, keep turning and doing the right thing. You got to hold on. You got to hold on. Oh, Lord, sometimes you feel like giving up. Sometimes you feel like throwing in the towel. But the Bible says, do not cast away, therefore, your confidence. In other words, Paul was saying, hold on. And I don't know what you're going through, young folk, but you feel like moving. You feel like giving up. You got to hold on. It's working. Sometimes you can't see it working, but it is working. Something is happening. You can't see everything that's happening, but something good is happening. When you put a seed in the ground, you don't know what's going on under the ground, but you know that seed is getting sunshine, it's getting water, and it's just a matter of time before something pop out of that dirt. And it's the same thing in your life. When you feel tempted, when you feel like going back to how you used to live, that's when you got to stand firm. That's when you got to hold on and say, I ain't going back to the bottle. I'm not going back to hoeing. I'm not going back to lying. I'm not going back to doing this, that, and the other. I'm going to stand firm, and I'm going to hold on. In life, sometimes it get tough, young folk. I said, in life, sometimes it get challenging, but we got to hold on. We got to be like Job. Job taught in the scripture. He said it like this. He said, I know. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust. I'm going through a little something. Sometimes it feel like God ain't listening to my prayer, but I know he can hear my prayer. It's as if God don't see me putting this money on the altar, but I know he see me putting this money on the altar. My haters out here giving me the blues, I know he see it, but Lord, I'm just going to hold on because I know that my Redeemer lives. Oh, you got to hold on. You got to hold on sometime for somebody else. Sometimes you see mama hurting. Sometimes you see grandmama hurting. And you've been praying, but she just going through. And you got to keep believing that he that will come shall come, and he will not tarry. Look at somebody and say, hold on. Matter of fact, preach and teach to yourself. Say, don't you hold on. Don't you get weary in well-doing. Don't you give up. Don't you throw in the towel. You don't want to miss this harvest. You don't want to miss this bigger. You don't want to miss this better. You thought the Lord was done with you. He ain't done yet. He got some things that your eyes have not seen and your ears have not heard. You got to hold on. You got to keep believing that he remembered what you wrote down on that paper. You got to keep believing that he heard you when you asked him to do something that was impossible with man. Look, it may be impossible with men, but with God, all things are possible. Don't you give your enemies, your adversaries, the upper hand by you giving up. Look at somebody and say, I can't give up now. I got to stand firm. I got to be like them Hebrew boys. Woo! I got to stay right here in the furnace. I got to keep walking, keep praising, keep worshiping, because I'm just like them Hebrew boys. I know God with me. I know he walking with me in this fire, and it's just a matter of time before he manifests himself and do something that I have never experienced before in my life. I'm going to stand firm and hold on. I can't compromise. Oh, I can't compromise. I asked him to use me. I asked him to anoint me. I asked him to bless me. And to whom much is given, much is required. This is just the cup I got to drink. I just got to drink from this cup as a young woman, drink from this cup as a young man. He building my character. He making me better. He making me stronger. I'm just gonna stand firm and hold on. Anybody in here still holding on? But Paul gets specific. He gets specific and tells us what we need to stand on, young folk, and what we need to hold on to. I know you believe in God to do some things, change some things, make some things to be better. But look at the text. Stand fast and hold on to traditions. Traditions. That's what he wants us to hold on to. Traditions. Then he says, traditions that you were taught. And he breaks it down by word or by what I wrote you. How would we look at that, young people? Hold on to the traditions from the written word and the revealed word. What are traditions? Number of definitions, but I got to make it simple. Just godly doings. Godly doings. Things that we do that are attached to God. Now, let me slide on in here and say this. There are some traditions of men. All right? There are some traditions that men have. All right? Ain't got nothing to do with the Bible. Nothing to do with the Bible. There are some traditions of men. And we need to be careful about the traditions of men, because Jesus taught that the traditions of men can make the word of God to no effect. All right? So in other words, if we prefer the traditions of men over the traditions of God, we mess ourselves up. And I don't want to mess myself up. Traditions of men. All right? No, we need the traditions that are attached to God. And some traditions, again, we just need to throw away or don't do them. All right? We don't need to be religious. The traditions that we do, they need to be based upon the word. Are y'all following me? Let me ask that again. Are y'all following me? Yes. Why is this important? Because in the day and time we're living in, the brethren, save young folks and adults, sadly, are leaving the traditions of God. You know, there are people out there saying that the Bible is outdated. That was good for back then. But God don't change. He's the same. Help me out. Yesterday, today, and forever. You know, you need to switch it up some and change. God, he don't do by his word. No, God is his word. We need to hold on to the traditions of God. Always. If y'all come in here and the ministers don't lead prayer, that's not a good look. That means you're letting go of godly traditions. If you call yourself the brethren, you say Christian, but you don't pray on a daily basis, you're letting go of godly traditions. What? Jesus taught man should always pray and not faint. That's a tradition that Jesus started. But if we don't do that, we letting go. Look at somebody say, you can't let go. Well, you can, but you shouldn't let go. And sometimes we slip, right? Sometimes we do let go for a little bit, but if you let go, hurry up and get that back. Look at somebody say, if you let go, get that back. Yeah, I have been guilty of letting go of certain godly doings. But I done just got to the point where I'm saying, no, I'm staying in the will of God. Why? Heaven and earth shall pass, but not God's word. We just going to stick to the word. Right? How many would agree? All right. And some things God wants us to do, we don't like. I guess me and First Lady, the only one that agree with that. Some things God wants you to do, you ain't going to like. But remember, young folk, if we're going to follow Jesus, we have to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him sometime. No, Jesus said daily. All right? So, as I hit this corner, let's look at a few things or some traditions that I need to deal with, and then we're going to be done. All right? And again, we're talking about traditions for folk that are Christian. Okay? All right. Let's go to Luke 4. Let's start in Luke 4. Oh, Lord. Luke 4. Y'all happier? Happier? Okay, Luke 4. And notice verse 1. Oh, Lord, I'm in Mark. I'm like, that don't look right. There we go. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Jesus the man. Look at this pattern. Jesus the man was led by the Holy Spirit. That's a good tradition. We need to be led by the Spirit. Led by the Holy Spirit. Young folk that are Christian need to have the Holy Spirit and allow him to lead them. The Holy Spirit will speak to you and I and tell us what to do and what not to do. Now look at the text. The Holy Spirit told Jesus where to go. He'll tell us where to go and where not to go. But he told Jesus to go somewhere many of us wouldn't probably want to go initially. go to the desert, go to the wilderness, Here's the Holy Spirit telling him to go somewhere that the flesh necessarily don't want to go. And then when he got there, he told him, for 40 days and 40 nights, fast. He didn't eat nor drink. Nah, you know, we're going to go. You guys think, but I'm going on TV fast. I'm going on a fruit drink fast. And that's cool. But the Holy Spirit told Jesus to go to the wilderness for 40 days, 40 nights. Don't eat, don't drink. And then he's going to be tempted by the devil. Not a demon, but Satan himself. This is where the Holy Spirit is telling Jesus to go. Now, some of us right off, you'd be like, I rebuke that in the name. That ain't God. This ain't you, God. You gonna tell me to shout, Lord. You gonna tell me to give you the glory, Lord. But go to the wilderness, be tempted by the devil? Oh, no. See, we got to understand God's ways. God's ways, young folk, are not like man's ways. Now, when you continue reading, when Jesus obeyed the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says that he came out of the wilderness with some power. See, whatever the Lord leads us to do is going to be beneficial. It's going to be beneficial. Now, because we serve God by faith, it's going to be something in there that we may not naturally agree with. But it's going to line up with his word. Okay? The finale of your favorite program, getting ready to come on. I mean, you've been watching all 7 episodes, and you ready. I mean, you sitting there, 8, 9 o'clock, you ready. Then the Holy Ghost, he said, hey, cut that TV off, and I want you to go in there and pray. And you sitting there like, the devil is alive. God will lead you to do stuff like that. And don't think he won't tell you to pray for naught. No, it's something in there that's going to be beneficial for you. Something beneficial in that prayer or in your obedience. I need you to put $400 on the altar. $400. Ooh, Jesus. Ooh, Jesus. I need to make sure I heard that right. I need to make sure I heard. You know how we do. I need to pray about that. No, ain't no pray about that. My sheep know my voice, and strangers. $400, Lord. You got to remember, it's been beneficial. There was this one prophet in Scripture. The Lord told this prophet to marry a prostitute. Somebody like, nah, this ain't you, Lord. But it was something in the marriage that was going to be beneficial. Yeah, y'all need to go read. I'm telling y'all, it's some good stuff in this Bible. It's some good stuff in this Bible. Some good stuff in this Bible. In the Old Testament. Look at her. No, y'all sit tight. Y'all need to read that. But the point that the Lord is trying to teach us, young folk, it is no time to be led by flesh. We're in a day and time now, you need to be more conscious of God than anything or anybody. Man, it's crazy out here. It's a lot of voices out here. But it's a wonderful thing when you have the confidence to know that God is leading you to do something or not to do something. And it's going to come a time in your life, young folk, you need to have that confidence. You need to have that confidence to know, no, this is the will of God for me, or that is not the will of God for me. And it's not just church things. It's life. It's life. When it comes to your money, when it comes to relationships, when it comes to friends and so forth, business decisions, you need to be led by the Holy Spirit. And that's a tradition that you don't never need to let go of. Preachers, oh man, we need to be led by God. Would you all agree? Okay, let's go to Hebrews. Now, while you're going to Hebrews 10, how many know the Holy Spirit will lead you directly and indirectly? It's not always God, or like it's portrayed, like you just going to hear a voice from heaven call your name and tell you to do something. No, God will speak to your spirit directly. And if he speak to your spirit directly, again, it's going to line up with God's word. Or he's going to lead and guide you indirectly. He'll use somebody else. There was this preacher a few weeks ago that had a service here at this church. And some folks that was at the service told me about some of the things that the preacher said. And so the preacher was getting up telling folks, and this at a service, it was a funeral or a homegoing service. And so the preacher was telling folk, boldly they were telling me, you ain't got to go to church. You can hear God at home for yourself. When they told me that, I was like, I hope they were sitting there saying, you know that ain't the Holy Spirit telling that preacher to say that. No. God ain't going to do anything contrary or speak anything contrary to his word. Oh, Lord. Let's go to Hebrews 10 and 35. Y'all didn't like that. It don't matter if you don't like it or not. Let God be true and every man a liar. Woo. Okay, let's look at this. Let's look at another tradition. What's the first tradition? What's the first tradition, MSW? All right. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Look at the wording. As is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. What is the day approaching? The day approaching is the Lord's return. And how many know we in the last days? Oh, my God. If you can't see that, you got zero discernment. I mean, because what the Bible is saying is happening right before our eyes. But look at the text. Look at one tradition we never need to leave. Coming to church. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves. Help me out. Two? Together. As is the manner of some. Some have chosen not to come together. Not all, but some. But we need to keep coming to God's house. We need to come to God's house. I said we need to come to God's house. And we need to remember there's nothing new under the sun. The same way you see saints and brethren in our day and time being persuaded not to come to God's house, to hear faith so we can trust the Lord, is not new. It happened before. In the Old Testament, there was a king, I believe, by the name of Hezekiah, and his enemy was the king of Assyria. You know, this king went out and told Israel, y'all don't need to trust Hezekiah. He trying to tell y'all to trust the Lord, worship him, don't believe him. Same spirit you see in our day and time. Trying to make it comfortable to do everything else except come and assemble ourselves together. And as children of God, we got to make sure, young folk, that spirit don't get attached to us. Thank God for technology. Thank God for YouTube, where we can stream and do all these wonderful things. But let's not forget the traditions of the scripture. The church was ordained by God. And the church is going to be persecuted. Jesus said that the gates of hell would come against the church, but it would not prevail. We always have to have the mindset, I need to be in God's house. I need to be in his house where he dwells, because that's what he has established. That's the tradition. That's what the Bible says. And I'm going to tell y'all my thoughts about it. I just believe anytime somebody start trying to mess with something that God has established, they messing with God's stuff. See, the church belong to God. And anytime folks start to try to mess with God's church, they finna be in trouble. In fact, in the book of Acts, the apostles was preaching. The first church, they was preaching and telling folk about Jesus, and they came before a council of folk, and this one man just stood up. He said, hold up now. If these folk are of God and we fight against them, then our fight is with God. He said, now, if they're not of God, what they doing ain't nothing going to come good of it. Nothing good is going to happen. But that man said, look, if we mess with them and what they doing, we going to be fighting against God. So we have to be careful. Are y'all with me, young folk? And see, the older you get, the more you're going to have to make choices for yourself. Yeah, the older you get, you're going to have to make choices for yourself. And you're going to have one of them type choices. Do I keep going to church? Or do I do what I want to do? I want to encourage you to hold on to the traditions that the Lord has established. Woo! That, my brothers and sisters, is some good teaching. That's some good teaching right there. I ain't gonna front. That is some good teaching. I need to come to church. Not just because the Bible says come to church, but God's people are destroyed for lack of what?
Knowledge.
God does not want the brethren to be ignorant about life, right? Christians are not stupid folk. No, why? We get knowledge and understanding. When you get knowledge and understanding, that equates wisdom. You don't let anybody get over on you. Y'all with me? And how many know we need to be knowledgeable about things in the church and help me? Outside the church. Earlier this week, I was at Walmart, and there was this man who looked a little unsavory, you know, and he caught my eyes going in. So we had eye contact. And so I said, Lord, this man gonna be waiting on me when I come out. And sure enough, he was waiting on me. And he had a partner that I didn't see. He had a partner. And they look kind of, you know, they look a little, you know, like they knew the streets a little bit. And so on the way out, he caught me. Hey, man, hey, can you me and my partner right here, we having a little problem. I thought he was finna ask me for some money. He said, this, that, and the third, he was putting his game on me. He said, look, we just need a ride down to such and such. Can you just give us a ride? I was like, hold up, now, what you saying now? He said, man, we just need a ride. He was doing all the talking. His partner was just sitting there looking at me. And he was just kind of grinning like, yeah, if he give us a ride. I said, I looked at him. I said, I ain't even tell him I was going the way. I just said, look, man, I ain't going to be able to do that today. And he kind of paused and looked at me. I said, nah, I ain't going to be able to do that today. And I took my hand and put it toward my hip. And I did. I just ain't going to tell you no lie. I put it toward my hip. And I just said, look, man, I ain't going to be able to do that today. And he said, all right. And I walked, and I just kept looking behind me as I was going to my car. I'm saved. I love folk. I'm nice, but I am not stupid. You know, the Bible talks about there was a certain man in Luke 10, young folk. The Bible says in Luke 10 that there was a certain man who was going from Jerusalem to Jericho, and on his way, he fell among some thieves. You know what these thieves did to this man? They beat him, stripped him of his clothes, wounded him, and then the Bible says, and they left him for dead. We nice, we love folk, but young folk, you have to be led of God. You cannot be stupid. You can't be stupid. It's some folk out here that will try to take advantage of you. And one reason you come to church, young folk, is to get wisdom. Lord, what do I need to tell these two dudes right here? Because it's two of them, and I could give them a ride, but if I get them in my car, it's two of them and one of me, and I'm driving. These two gonna mess around, leave me on the side of the road. I said, no, I ain't gonna be able to help y'all today. I got to go. I got to go. Yeah, I got the Lord of hosts. I got angels all around me, but the Bible say we do not want to die before our time. Ain't gonna be stupid. And young folk, you can't be stupid. You can't be stupid. God blessing you with cars, jobs. You working all the way on the other side of Atlanta. You gotta walk, as the Bible says, circumspect. You can't be stupid out here in these streets. You can't be laying down with folk and think you can't catch nothing. Think you can't get pregnant. You can't be stupid. Y'all hear me? You and I come to God's house to get knowledge and understand. Not just for church stuff, but for life. Y'all hear me? I said, y'all hear me? Okay, let's go to Jude. We're going to close it out. Is this helping? And we got to stand on that. You got to stand on that. Hold on to stuff like this. Church taught me how to be a man. Coming to church taught me how to be a productive man, a productive husband, a productive young person. So many different things, and I can attribute it to the Lord's church. And so I'm hanging on to that. All right. I don't want y'all to be ignorant or stupid. And one reason, again, we come to God's house is to get knowledge and understanding so we're not ignorant. Right? All right. Last verse. Jude 1 and 3. Another tradition we need to hold on to. Yeah, Jude. Back by the book of Revelation. You just told on yourself. You know that, right? Jude 1. We're closing on this. That was funny. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to continue. contend earnestly, help me out, for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. What does he want them to do? Stand up for that gospel. Contend for the faith. You need to let folk know that you saved. You need to let folk know that they can be saved. That's it. Contend for the faith. Stand on it. Even if you're the only Christian at school, on your job, on the team, you stand up for your God. You contend for the faith. You let folk know. Because if there was ever a perfect time for ministry, it's now. I said, if there was ever a perfect time for ministry, it is now. And one of the groups of people that are dealing with the most is young folk. All this stuff going on in these schools, colleges, and on the workplace, you need folk that's going to represent the Lord to the fullest. Yeah. We need folk to stand up. Yeah, I believe in prayer. You need me pray for you? Yeah, I believe in going to church. Yeah, I believe God will protect me. Yeah, I believe what the Bible says. You got to hold on to that, young folk. You and I have to hold on to it. How many are understanding? By a show of hands. Don't let it down. Don't lay it down. Especially if you're Christian. Hold on to these traditions here. I just dealt with three, but how many know there are probably hundreds more? Yeah. Matter of fact, ain't no problem. There are hundreds, if not thousands more. But these three right here, I just want to deal with on this morning. How many got a good understanding of the lesson this morning by a show of hands? I'm going to stop right there. Let's give God a hand clap for the teacher.
Searching for happiness, this the way to go. You say you want peace, this the way to go. If you're trying to see Jesus, this the way to go. We all want to live, this the way to go. The show, 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 this the way to go. The show.
You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go. Thank you for listening to today's message. Please be sure to stop by Pastor Baker's website. Go to www.jeromeabaker.com. Until next time, remember, Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You just need to know the way to go.